Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Sunday Roast, Sunday the 26th of June, and this is the season finale. How's your week been, Kev? Looking forward to some downtime?
Yeah, looking forward to a bit of downtime. Going off to the Med Coast in Egypt in a week or so's time for a week or two. And then we have a project here in Egypt that we're doing, like a play area, children's play area. So we've been putting that together. So yeah, looking forward to a bit of time, downtime before it all starts again, I suppose.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see some of that kind of, you know, the selling May crew come back and around September time, or the end of the school holidays, end of the summer holidays, and we just start to see some volume in the market, because it's been a pretty turgid time of late, hasn't it?
It has, and I mean, this roast is all about us being accountable, if you like, because we stated at the start of the year that we had the 12 stocks of 2012, like the 12 days of Christmas that we did.
2022, so, maybe, unless you've got
sorry,
a time.
Sorry, 2022, sorry. Just had a 10-year time warp there and came back again. So, yeah, we're going to cover those stocks. It's been an interesting time, really, hasn't it, this last 6 months? It was actually quite good at the start.
Yeah, I mean, the first 3 months, I think the first quarter we saw was it about up to just over 32%, 33% up on the total portfolio that we put together. And you look at it now, and obviously in this terrible market, which, you know, since the sort of, let's say, April, towards the mid of April into May, obviously the war footing, you know, the Ukraine situation seems to have really just kind of exacerbated what was already looked like the start of a bit of, you know, the bear market. And it does feel to me like we're still not at the bottom of this current market. There's further to go in terms of drops for me. And that's just my opinion on it.
Yeah, I think it might be, but we've also had conversations with different CEOs as well. And the shares are dropping on extremely low volume in most cases, you know. So if you wanted to buy a fairly decent position in any stock, then you're going to move the needle. Like, you're going to move the share price quite significantly to the positive. So market needs volume, and the story, doesn't it? But and there's been stories, if you like, that you know, we need to pre-propose what we're going to cover in terms of the shares. I mean, you look at the dollar index, and from January you've got a dollar index of sort of 95 to 96. And we're looking at 104, and it has peaked at 105. So you basically got a 10% fear factor dollar rise, okay? Because there isn't another reason why the dollar's gone up. The dollar hasn't gone up because it's strong. The dollar has gone up because everybody's ran to the dollar, yeah? And that's been exacerbated by Bitcoin as well, not Bitcoin, but cryptocurrency.
Yeah, I mean, crypto, I think you're right, because a lot of people saw crypto as being that hedge against inflation and, you know, inflationary measures, and everybody went into that. But actually, it's not bucking the trend. You know, gold was always the hedge. Then people thought Bitcoin, and actually now Bitcoin's dropped, and a lot of people have been kind of lost money on that. They're starting to maybe that's what's moving the dial on the dollar. You know, people are actually putting it into fiat currencies. Now, I was listening to quite an interesting debate about fiat currencies being actually a Ponzi scheme. And when you think about it, that the dollar and the pound as fiat currencies have actually constantly been weakened over the years, and the velocity is dropping. It makes you wonder how long we've got with actual fiat currencies remaining, you know, in the world. All right, people are moving to the dollar now, you know, they're shorting the pound. But do you think there's a future for fiat currencies going forward in the next sort of 3 to 5 years? Do you think we'll actually have, or do you think we're going to move to a digital currency?
I think the governments are just protecting themselves as much as physically possible. And obviously that's been by printing money in the US and to an extent issuing bonds in the UK. But, you know, I was having this conversation with someone yesterday, and I don't really know why it came about, but we have been doing this for just less than 50 years now from the, you know, when the gold standard came off, which I think was in 1974, 74 or 72.
71, sure. I think.
71, was it the Bretton Woods scenario?
Yeah.
So for 50 years, we've had money that hasn't been backed by anything, okay? So this is what you talk about being a Ponzi scheme, but we've had money that hasn't been backed by anything. Prior to that, money was always backed partially by something valuable, gold, in some cases, civilization, silver, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. So what you then left was human beings to decide how much money they can print and how this all works. So I'm not coming to any conclusions here, but what you have to understand is the Chinese, the Russians, and many other states have been accumulating gold now for over 10 years. Okay. Why? Because they see it, I think, as a store of value. It is a true store of value because it's a valuable commodity, because it's limited and it doesn't tend to lose its value.
And you hear horror stories like Gordon Brown sold all our gold in some like 2008 or 2009. You think, what plans have we made?
None, probably. Okay. And then, so you move on to what's been happening in this area. So, for instance, silver in January was $24, $25 an ounce. Now, yesterday, it hit 20.93 an ounce. So, in other words, it's down over 20%. So, a strong store of value has gone down by over 20%. You look at gold. In January was 1774, now 1825. So actually gold has gone up slightly. So
gold has massively outperformed Bitcoin in the last 6 to 12 months.
Yep. So I think gold's going to go on one hell of a tour, to be honest with you. I really think it's going to go up. And the gold miners are going to do very, very well because it is going to be realized again. It just like it has in history all along, that gold is a store of wealth, and it is one that we accept as a store of wealth. And the commodities, I was looking at the commodities last night before we were going to talk about this, and one of the surprising ones is copper. You know, in January, copper was flying; it nearly hit $5, or in other currency, that's maybe nearly $11,000 per ton, I think. Because I think this price is per pound, is it? And it's now 373. So it's actually dropped 25%.
Yeah, at a time. Copper cooled off, hasn't it? Yeah.
At a time when effectively the world needs more copper than it's ever needed in its entire history. Yeah. And it's now at a 52-week low. So, I mean, that's probably affected some of the copper miners because obviously the money they're getting producing has gone down a bit, but we're in a backdrop here of many strange things, like things going the way that you wouldn't expect them in this situation. So is that just a short-term situation, or have we got a new economy? I think it's a short-term situation. I think it's just corrections that are going to recorrect itself. But let's get on to the stocks anyway.
So let's start on there. I think we're starting with chill brands, aren't we?
We're starting with our worst performer so far, 84% down. Chill Brands, is there anything more to say?
Not really, other than it's, you know, with Callum obviously on board, it seems like it's going in a new direction. We've had some good chats with Callum. Last time we spoke to him, he was out in Colorado at the HQ, and it just certainly looks like he's trying to change direction of the company and actually improve them.
Yeah, I mean, my simple statement is currently valued fully issued with all the shares that have to be issued from this new raise to about 400 million shares. So effectively it's valued at about £9 million today and have cash of about £3 million and also holds the asset of chill.com, which probably is worth close to the market cap. So effectively you've got a free hit now, I think. That's my view. Now, we backed this from 15p and it's now 2.4p. So, yeah, disaster. But I think this whole area has been a disaster. Yeah. And, I mean, we look at Love Hemp as well, which has been suspended. And there isn't much else to say because we don't know what's happening. So
yeah,
it's been suspended. And, yeah. So if we'd avoided if our portfolio had avoided this CBD area, we'd be a hell of a lot better off. But
it's funny how things such as life. It's always that moving target, isn't it? You know, you look at these stocks, they're in favor. The CBD sector was booming, you know, during lockdown, people needed it. You know, the online sales went through the roof. They reported, you know, 120% increase in online sales, and revenues were good. And then the last quarter announcement just fell flat on its face, certainly for Love Hemp. And then all of a sudden, you know, there's an announcement that they're suspended because their Nomad has resigned. You can't make some of this stuff up. Just how poorly managed some of these companies are is frightening, isn't it? But that's the risk we take when we invest in small cap and nano caps.
Yeah, you've got the potential to go 10 times up and you've got the potential to lose your shirt, basically. Yeah. That's the reality of it, isn't it?
So moving on to, I think the next one on the list was Mast Energy Developments. When we spoke to Louis Kurtzey recently, we visited Pybridge. Certainly a compelling investment in this time where we've got an energy crisis in the UK. Around the world, we've got the Russian situation where, you know, gas being supplied to UK has been cut. We're looking to the North Sea for our own sort of homegrown energy supplies. And ultimately, the national grid is coming under pressure and under load, and baseband is required. So ultimately, these reserve power stocks should be seen as being the savior right now, and actually, you know, providing a solution to a big problem.
I think both Mast and Chill, which are our two worst performers in the second half of this year, have got great potential to double from these very low levels. Now, that doesn't even get us back to where we started, but that's not the point. I think that, you know, if you're looking for an investment now, actually, I think both of them, Chill's got lots of cash in a market that's bombed out. Mast has got one asset already up and running in steady state that's worth at least a market cap, and has two more assets coming online and is in negotiations with other ones. So, yeah, I think potentially both of those shares have got huge upside from this point. Whether they even get back to where we started is anybody's guess, but effectively right now they look a good bet.
Good. So next one on the list is Carus Mineral Resources. And again, you mentioned the copper, kind of the drop in copper price. Do you think that obviously we know that Martin has stepped down as CEO and we've got Charlie on board. Do you think that copper drop has had some impact on that? Or do you think this is more of a situation where, you know, there's a bit more uncertainty around it? It seems like they're heading into this EV metals direction. What's your take on that one?
Yeah, I think it's just uncertainty why it's dropped back, hasn't it? Because if we'd had this conversation, I think 6 to 8 weeks ago, it was 11, 12p, maybe even slightly higher. So, you know, we tipped it at 14p. The assets are still there. The assets are very good. And now with the potential backing of a much bigger company in EV metals, I think it's got a lot of potential behind it, you know. But again, it's gone quiet, hasn't it, at this time? And there hasn't really been much information for the shareholder to decide. So he's either going to be patient or he's going to have to wait to see what the next move is.
Blencoe Resources, Brez, is the ticker. That's one we've spoken quite a few times now to Mike Ralston. Graphite play, nickel sulfide. What are your thoughts on that?
Crazy valuation. Absolutely crazy valuation. And you cannot fault Blencoe in terms of how much information they put out there about their resource. From every area, you've seen Mike talking about it. You've seen others commentating on it. You know, these EV vehicles need the graphite. And these guys have got a very good project. The PFS should be out any week now, basically. It has to be done by the end of this month, I think. So it's going to be in July sometime. And yeah, it's a silly valuation right now.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, obviously, they've got the PFS to look forward to, which I think is going to be coming out in the next, you know, well, say, let's say imminently, sort of July, maybe August time, whenever that comes. But it's certainly due. Which hopefully that will have the desired impact on the share price. Because you say, I think we're down about 27% roughly on that stock at the current SP.
That was one we added because both Ben's Creek and CDL, Cloudbreak, had hit their targets, wasn't it? So we added that one during the period of time.
Next one is Conroy Gold, obviously our friends in Dublin. They
ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, and it's dropped back again. It went into the sort of mid-30s, late-30s, and now we're sat around the 26.5p. Again, just impatient investors, you know, moving around. Probably just any small volume these days drops the share price, but nothing's changed. You know, that we saw the drill rig on site. We've seen it for our very eyes. You've stood in that little culvert there and in the stream, and you've seen you've been hammering the rock yourselves. So what do you feel about Conroy now and their price?
I think there's just no volume in the stock, is there? So if there's no volume in the stock, then it's not gonna go up. But to value something at sort of the price that Demir are gonna spend over the next sort of year or two, and on top of that, they already have 500 and something thousand JORC resource of gold. This doesn't make any sense, does it? I mean, we keep saying this, but
yeah,
a lot of them don't make any sense at this stage.
Moving on to Hydrogen Utopia International. Obviously, we saw the news of the Linde joint venture agreement or tie-in there. That's been just literally been beaten down, hasn't it? From the, I think it pre-IPO'd around 5, then it IPO'd around 7.5. It hit about 14, 15p in its highs, but now it's sitting around the 5.75 mark, 23% down on when we first, put it on the list. Again, it's just, and they've got a tie-in now in Ireland, haven't they? So it seems like things are progressing, but I think people just get impatient, expecting, riches overnight.
I mean, I think the big deal with this stock and PHE is basically first of a kind, isn't it? Somebody's got to do it. It's got to be put in place, and when that happens, then Hydrogen Utopia is going to be worth a few hundred million pounds for sure. Right now, what's it worth? It's worth about 25 million. So I think first of a kind is done, and you'll have a 10 bag in a few days. If you think that's going to happen, then hold on, and it should come good, I think. Let's move on to Seed. We talked with Ed. Again, Seed's one of those ones that earlier in the year, I think, was up at 8, 9p. So it was very happily, 40, 50% up from our buy-in price. Big deal with the Leap Gaming and what's going to be happening with that. It seems to have timescales pushed back, probably because of the market. Why would you IPO right now? You're not going to IPO right now. So end of the year type scenario where Leap Gaming is going to come to the market. And it should significantly improve Seed. Plus Seed is in many, many CBD cannabis type scenarios. And that market has been slaughtered, literally.
That was good. It's always good talking to Ed because he gives you a good overview of what he thinks the market, what it's doing. And he's had a lot of experience in this sector for many years. So always like chatting to Ed, and I think that the interesting RNS was where they made the loan, wasn't it, to Leap Gaming. It looked quite an astute thing to do, and obviously that that they're working hard to get that off the ground. It shows real commitment in that investment. So yeah, fair play to them. And as I say, hopefully it's one of those that's been fluctuating around. It's sort of at the 4.85p mark, but it has these mad swings where it does like 8, 9 times the normal volume in a week, doesn't it? And it goes to 7, 8p, and then it's almost becoming a bit of a trader share, that one, it looks like.
It's a scenario where he has very, very big plans for that stock. I mean, he wants it to be worth 50 to 100 million sterling, the portfolio. And obviously it's nowhere near that. So who knows? But I think in time he's going to get it right. I like him. He's a good guy. So Phil definitely likes him because he drives fast cars.
Exactly. And then moving on to the next one, we've got Extract Resources, Colin Bird, and the Bush Ranger project, the race course in Ascot. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, obviously we've seen I think we tipped it around the 4.85 mark. It's around the 4.647. So not really dropped too much in terms of, I think it hit about 7.5, maybe 8p at its peak this year. Let's see.
Yeah, we're coming into a scenario with Extract, I think, where actually even the current share price is too low for the other assets other than the Australian Bus Ranger type scenario, because the gold is pouring in now from the different assets that they've got.
I mean, that
in
latest
Africa.
RNS from the Manica gold pour was interesting, wasn't it? Because Colin was a little bit more downbeat than he normally was. He just said it's a satisfactory result, but I thought the results seemed quite good in terms of the amounts of pour. I thought it was a good RNS.
Yeah, I think Colin's probably just generally depressed because of the stock market, to be honest with you. So he's probably trying a different tact, which says, you know, I'm not going to say it's brilliant. I'll just say it's okay and see what happens, you know. So you missed one out there. We go back to Contango, which is currently around the 6p mark and is about, we tipped at 6.5p. But they just had company-changing news. Okay, so they just signed an offtake for 10,000 tons a month, which should provide them with about $10 million a year of cash flow from the washed coal. So they have to get a wash plant in there and start shipping that stuff, or it's actually going to be picked up from the site from the end of this year. So let's say December time. So, I mean, this is the story of the market, isn't it? The market reacted. It went up, I think, to 6.5, maybe even got to 7p, which is way below where it was before, by the way, because it was at 8.5, 9p, I think, at one point. And then just slowly, steadily drops back again because there's not enough volume and everyone wants to just take a small profit. So, game changer. Absolute game changer. I mean, we have 15 to 18p, I think, on this stock. And if it's not there by the end of the year, if they follow through and do this wash plant, then the market's broken. You know, it's not working because it should be worth that much money.
Yep.
Simple as that.
Agree.
And coal is the real hot topic, isn't it? I mean, if you want to pick out stocks you should have been in the last 6 to 9 months, if you put all your portfolio in coal stocks, you couldn't have failed.
There may be an exception like OPG, but that's thermal coal, so it's a different story. But
yeah.
So moving on to Orcadian Energy, which obviously is one we've had Steve Brown on, CEO, and we talked to him recently about this new tax levy, which does actually work in the favour of a lot of these North Sea in terms of actual that they can offset their taxes for exploration, and it's almost like a 90% reduction, isn't it? Do you want to talk a bit about Orcadian?
Yeah, I mean, Orcadian, again, was one of our replacement stocks, wasn't it, because of the two that had hit their target. So
we're now moving into positive territory. This is
positive territory. 8.75% to the good. We looked at 40p when we first took this one on. And it has broken out for £2.60 fair value today. So I'm not going to say anything else. It's like the market just doesn't get it. It has reserves. It's not a driller. It's not an explorer. It has 2P oil reserves.
Yep.
And it's not valued based on being or having these reserves. It's bizarre.
Next one, African Pioneer.
Yeah, we're up 30%. It was 2P when we said it was good. This was going to go. I still think it's going to go. It's got majors galore involved with it. Is it Sandfire Resources and First Quantum? That's right, Sandfire and First Quantum. Mainly Southern Africa, copper, cobalt, gold. And they've got projects that are going to be happening in the not too distant future. We're hoping to go out and visit some of those later in the year with Colin. I still think this one could do exceptionally well this year. I mean, it's just not had the news yet, but I'm sure it's coming. Yeah. What do you think, Phil?
No, I agree. I think at 2.6p, or is it 30% up, is not even really worth getting excited about because the potential here is huge. You as I said it before, name me another main market nano cap company that has got partnerships with two big majors as well. You know, there's some serious assets here. So, yeah, let's see what happens. Let's see what news comes out. And certainly one that I'm very confident in.
Yeah.
Outbreak Discovery is the next one. CDL, as we said before, it's currently up 55% on the 1.8, but it has been as high as Well, probably something like 800% up at one point on that. I'd imagine it hit about 13.5, 14p. So well done those who got in at the lows and got out and rode that one on the wave, because you only need one of those a year, don't you, to make your, you know, make your portfolio look really good.
Yeah, I mean, 1.8 to even 10p would have been 500% return, wouldn't it? Or no, 400% return. So yeah, done very well, but now massively undervalued again. Kyla Hardy, the CEO, just bought 2.5 million shares at 3p. So you get any shares under 3p, you're getting a good deal. That was what the IPO was a year ago. And can you remember how many announcements they've had in the last 12 months since the IPO? Like, it's unbelievable how many projects they've done deals on. And now he's moving into the oil side of things to get upfront cash flow coming through fast. So I really think this is going to be positive revenues coming through on this stock within the next 12 to 18 months, which should mean that all the costs of the business are covered by these revenues, because that was what his goal was. And then he's got what, 18 to 20 projects, all possible to achieve great things, basically, in all areas: gold, copper, cobalt. We've got lithium assets now that are going to be announced, I think, in the not too distant future as well. So at 3 or 2.8p as it stands now, bargain territory again. And we've seen it at 10 to 12p. So, where's your risk? Yeah, maybe that was slightly overvalued, but 6 to 8p probably is about right.
Moving on to Benn's Creek, this is obviously the star performer. It's been higher than it currently is now. It's around the 71, 72, but probably 70 pence mark, let's say. It's up about 110% on the initial buy-in price of 34 pence. So yeah, hit probably 108, 109, 110, that region is a high. And we've been to site and seen firsthand that this is not, a lot of the naysayers, no, it doesn't even exist, oh, and all this rubbish you read on some of these bulletin boards. And actually, it's actually a properly good setup. The operations there are fantastic.
Even at 110% up, it's undervalued right now,
Yeah.
based on its revenue that it will start to generate, or has started to generate. It will have revenues of not revenues, coal production and coal deliveries of between, let's be conservative and say 60 to 80,000 tons a month by the end of the summer. And I think the potential for this to have $150 to $200 million of EBITDA in the next 12 months is like probable. It's not unlikely. Coal prices come off a bit. Everything seems to have come off a bit, but I think that's partly because of the summer, partly because China had locked down a bit and they weren't producing as much steel. Fully expect once we get going again later in the summer, that steel prices are going to soar again, and the coal price will follow.
Sounds good.
So overall, again, to confirm, we basically, the portfolio as it stands is 10% down, or 10.2% down. It was in excess of 30% up. Again, what does that tell us? If we want to be traders, then yeah, we should have been selling. We should have been selling some of that stuff that had done well. If we're holding on longer term for other stuff, then let's hope the next 6 months for some of those stocks is a better result. I think if we get liquidity, things are going to move fast. That's my view. If we don't get liquidity, then I think it's going to be pretty much status quo. I mean, everybody's talking, yeah, it can still go lower. I think it can, but if you want to buy volume in any of those stocks, that's not going to go lower. It's going to go up.
Can't disagree with that. And I think 10% down in this current market is actually not a bad performance, really.
Yeah, no, I think it's
You
not
look at
bad at
stocks
all.
like Apple, big stocks that have lost 25% of their value, that are rock solid or normally were rock solid. It's
Yeah.
it's a good position.
Yeah, I mean, if you had to, somebody put a gun to your head now, and said you had to choose the stocks all over again, I think probably, and only because it's suspended, I wouldn't choose Love Hemp again, but that's because of the suspension, nothing else. I think everything else in that portfolio's you know, fine, and I'm quite happy to still be holding it in that situation. We discussed this off camera before we started, Phil. So you've now got a free hit, okay? The next 6 months, you can choose one more stock. We will add it to the scenario just to see how it goes. It can't be one of the stocks that we've already picked. So what is your stock for the next 6 months?
I think from a purely looking at the global status now and with the geopolitical situation, I think I'd have to choose something in the potash area, you know, the fertilizer because of grain and the Ukraine situation. So for me, EML, Emerson, PLC, that they've got a potash asset in Morocco, Chemisset project. And it just looks massive and vast, and in terms of CapEx, it's not going to cost too much to fund it and actually get some amazing revenues out of it. So obviously they're waiting on contractors and things like that, selecting that. There has been some engineering contracts tied up with Bar Engineering for the mineral processing facility. So there's things that, you know, developing in the background, but ultimately it looks undervalued. It's around 60 million cap, but the NPV is into the billions and billions of dollars. So for me, Emerson 7p is a stonking buy.
Okay, mine is very much in terms of the green economy and very much based in the UK, and that is Technology Minerals. You know, it's been as high as 5.5p, and we're checking it now, and it's 2.6p or no, 2.26p. It's crazy cheap. It's £30 million. It's just had its first okay for the lithium ion batteries plant, and also the lead acid battery plants in the UK. They're the first of many to come. Also has a portfolio of cobalt and other assets. I think copper, cobalt, all the battery metals. But the thing that gets me about this is the revenue from basically turning what is a nasty problem into money by basically doing the revamping of the batteries and recycling. There's interesting things coming on. There was an RNS this week about the fact that they're going to be able to test the batteries before they recycle them. So maybe they can actually save some of them to go back into the system or be renewed. So for me, this is a company that's going to be worth several hundred million pounds in the not too distant future. And it's UK-based, UK company that is going to lead maybe the world, but definitely the UK and Europe into this recycling scenario that we desperately need. So for me, yep. I think the next 6 months could be pretty exciting with this company. And also, it's very cheap at the minute. I mean, 30 million, it's a lot less than it was before these big announcements. I mean, how do you work that one out, Phil? That it's worth less than before these announcements were made.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, does it? And a lot of these things, that's the current market, isn't it? You get a great announcement, you get the EA approval on both of the sites, you know, Tipton, and basically, you know, you're in a position now where it's way lower than the IPO price, and they're much further ahead with operations and licensing, and all the environmental approval has been done for the sites. They've got plans, as you mentioned. You know, they've got one of each, one of the lead acid and one of the lithium ion sites. And then The plan is to make five of each, so that, you know, 10 recycling plants. And I think they're well on track to do that. So for me, yeah, I agree. It's a great buy at these levels, sort of the 2.3, 2.4 mark or something around that, you know, that's the current buy-in price. And I think it could easily get back to the 5 to 6p highs that we've seen. If not, well, certainly we'll go beyond that once they bring more of the revenue start and they become EBITDA positive.
I mean, for me, this really is a very, very interesting area, and one that is going to grow exponentially. I mean, it could be amazing. Once you get a company that's basically cash flow positive and then can start just planting these plants, excuse the pun, but basically putting these plants all over the place where they are required. You know, I mean, do you think, how many gigafactories have we got? Do you think maybe a recycling plant next to each gigafactory might be a good idea? Do you know what I mean? It's like bizarre. It's the potential is vast.
Yeah. Well, have a great break, and ultimately we'll be back in a couple of months. We're still going to continue with the midweek takeaways and the shorter podcast. But we're going to have a bit of a sabbatical from the actual Sunday roast here on a Sunday. So wishing you all a great summer, and thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. And, I think we've had very tough times in the last few months. So let's hope for better times going forward. And, yeah, have a good summer. Enjoy the sun, enjoy the beach if you get the chance. And, enjoy your friends and family.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.